welcome everyone to this podcast about the hows and whys of nonprofits. And today we're talking to Bennett Rathbun about his work founding an organization called Hope on a String. Hope on a String is located in Acaye, Haiti, just north of Port-au-Prince, about 45 minutes north of Port-au-Prince. And Hope on a String strives to provide music and arts education to children and youth all around the area. Kids participate in music, dance, performance classes, as well as skill-building workshops, and many grassroots development initiatives. And the community has overwhelmingly supported this effort founded by Bennett. And so I want to dig into his work and how he decided to found Hope on a String. And so welcome, Bennett.
Thanks, Ray. Really glad to be here.
Awesome. So, Bennett, I want to just tell you how I find your drive, your focus, and the task that you take on, these challenging tasks in Haiti, inspiring to me. In full disclosure, I am on the board of Hope on a String, so I have been watching Bennett as he's changed the lives of so many youth in the north of Haiti. And how many kids are we up to at this point, Bennett?
This year, we should be serving around 5,000 youth from about 5 years old all the way up to about 30 years old.
Wow. And can you talk in more detail about the organization and what it does?
Sure, yeah. Well, you gave an apt summary, but Hope on a String, our mission is to empower youth and communities through music and the arts. The way that we do that is primarily through three core initiatives. We have a community center that we have maintained and operated for close to 10 years, a space in a rural village in the region of Acaye, Haiti, that was formerly a nightclub and a brothel and is now a positive space for community engagement through the arts. We also partner with primary schools across the region. This year, 40 schools, wow, serving about a little under 2,000 kids in that initiative alone, providing music education and cultural celebration on-site during the school day to improve traditional educational outcomes. And thirdly, we also work with older youth who we dub artist entrepreneurs to help them generate livelihood through training in music and the arts and help them find performance opportunities and gigs so that they can support their families.
Wow. That's an amazing reach. And I'm curious about why music. So Haiti's a country full of so many different needs, lack of high quality education. Many people struggle to put food on the table, find jobs. And some would say, well, shouldn't we take care of these basic needs before we think about something like music or arts, enrichment and education?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a valid question. And, our answer to that question is that absolutely, yes. And there are many fantastic organizations and programs working in Haiti doing exactly that. And the reason why we chose music goes back to what we observed when we first started working in Haiti back in 2010, shortly after the earthquake that devastated the country. We saw that there were literally thousands of NGOs providing both short-term relief efforts as well as the basic needs that people need to survive and thrive. What we didn't see happening was a long-term focus on rebuilding the fabric of society that had been ripped by not only this very acute disaster that had just occurred in 2010, but decades of conflict and struggle that had really left communities struggling to find ways to rebuild their future. It was also abundantly clear to me and to our team when we first got acquainted with Haiti that music is the lifeblood of society. You can't go anywhere in Haiti without hearing rhythms and sounds and celebration of an incredibly vibrant Haitian culture. And for us, that was a great way to build a bridge between the sort of theoretical work that we wanted to do with the needs and desires and wishes of the Haitian people that we were going to be working with, particularly youth. I'm a firm believer in the fact that music is a universal language. It's something that can connect cultures no matter where they're from. And I'm a big believer in the power of music in my own life. My grandmother was a music teacher. I grew up around music. I'm a huge fan of live music, and I know the power that it can have in any one individual's life, let alone connecting societies and cultures together.
So would you say that, going back to this idea of language and music as a universal language and connecting people, how do you think about that language, or how do you think about that connection? Is it, would you say it's a heart connection? So even though we're working in the space of, as nonprofit, as a nonprofit organization, Hope on a String is working on the space of trying to work on sort of more concrete things, but then it has this way of using music to get to the heart of things, if that's not too cliche?
Yeah, no, I think language and the ability to communicate is critical to success broadly, particularly when it comes to figuring out how to address and then solve, very complex social problems. The ability for people to sit down and understand one another, connect on a human level, and then work towards common solutions depends upon the ability to communicate in a shared language. And that's particularly challenging when, in my case, I was coming from a culture and a society and a language that was very distinct from the one that I found when I started working in Haiti. So even when I was not yet able to speak Haitian Creole or understand the nuances and deep histories of Haitian life, I did have a shared language with the people that I was getting to know through music. And I've seen that time and time again in my own life, even when people come from diverse backgrounds and cultures and places. The ability to forge a human connection through song or rhythm or dance is very easy and powerful to do. And that was a principle that we wanted to capitalize on and use as the basis of the work that we were going to do going forward.
That's so beautiful. Do you play an instrument, Bennett?
No, I'm sort of a failed musician many times over.
Oh, no.
Tried everything from guitar to saxophone. I even played some violin when I was a little kid, never well. But as I mentioned, I grew up in a house that was filled with music, and it's always been something that I have valued very deeply. And that became ever more powerful to me when I began learning more and more about Haitian culture.
So why Haiti, Bennett? I mean, there's so many places in the world that need attention and time and effort and music, and so many places even in our backyards that need time, attention, and music. Why Haiti?
Yeah, I still sometimes ask myself that same question 10 years later. Well, if we jump back to 2010, I was working in management consulting in New York City, which was my first job right out of college. I knew it was a very good job and one that was giving me a strong professional training, but I also knew that it wasn't something I wanted to be doing long term. But I didn't know what that was, and I was experiencing, what I think many would call a quarter-life crisis, trying to figure out what my calling and what my avenue would be was. And around that time, in January of 2010. A huge earthquake hit Haiti and completely wiped out the capital city of Port-au-Prince. And I remember reading about the news as it was happening almost in real time, sitting at my desk in an office tower in New York and thinking how horrible that was. But little did I know that that event would go on to change my life. as I was watching it devastate the lives of so many hundreds of thousands of people in Haiti. A few months later, I got a call and was invited to join a foundation that was doing a fact-finding trip for some disaster relief investments and work they were hoping to do going forward. And I jumped at the chance to join that trip. I took about a month off from my job and spent that time traveling around the country, sitting in living rooms, hearing stories of people whose lives have been destroyed by this natural disaster, talking with NGOs and government workers, people who are trying to respond to those very basic and acute needs that you mentioned earlier. And I was somebody who had grown up in a life of privilege. I had never spent time in a developing country. I had never been in a disaster zone. And so this was an incredibly powerful and traumatic experience to see what the country of Haiti was going through. And when I flew back to the United States, I had a very deep sense of responsibility to try and use the privilege that I had in my life to help make a difference going forward. And I didn't know what that would be or how I would do it. But I also met some amazing people on that trip who started sharing some ideas on how we could address some of the challenges that we saw and do it in a way that was impactful and different than the many thousands of NGOs already working on the ground. And that was the formation of what has become an incredible journey of learning and understanding and empathy with the friends that I met then and that I have made while working in Haiti along the way.
Wow. So you jumped, you know, full force into Haiti and then founding this nonprofit called Hope on a String. You had to put a board together. You had to put some money together. How did you know how to start a nonprofit?
Well, the short answer is I had no idea how to do it. I was very lucky that I had some amazing mentors and teachers who helped guide me through some of the big first questions. And our success to date, you know, depends largely on that mentorship. But I really had no clue. I was coming from a private sector background of about 3.5-4 years. I had no experience or training in social impact, in nonprofit management or philanthropy or anything. I was getting to know a culture for the very first time. So in retrospect, it feels fairly naive and somewhat reckless that I ended up taking a leap and starting a nonprofit. I'm very glad that I did, mm-hmm. certainly, and I've taken the time to learn how to do it right. But one of the quick lessons that I learned was that, yes, there are best practices and things that leaders should be doing to deliver impact to the communities they serve, but essentially there is no playbook. It's about getting proximate to the problem that you're trying to solve, understanding it as deeply as you can, and then using a problem-solving mindset to apply solutions to the challenges that you need to solve as they arise. And our journey in building this organization has been one of exactly that. Once I left my prior job to work on Hope on a String full-time, which was about 6 months after that first trip to Haiti, my entire focus was and has been on figuring out how to build an organization in a developing country that, in a culture that was entirely new to me from the ground up. And initially, that was a lot of business challenges, figuring out how to register an organization, legalize it in the eyes of, U.S. tax law. And from there, it's been very focused on sustaining that organization and figuring out how to design and run a program in Haiti that is empathetic, effective, and conveys dignity to the people that we support.
So this podcast series is focused on my students at MIT, kids, you know, in college, are just soon going to be coming out of college with ideas about ways to change the world, invent something, create something. What are the lessons that you would offer to kids coming out of college who, you know, they don't want the traditional path. They don't want to go work for a big, you know, software company or a big engineering company. But they really want to be able to have a job that allows them to give back to humanity in some way, shape, or form. What have you learned? What would you advise?
Wow. I don't know how much time we have on this podcast, but I have many, many lessons I've learned personally. I mean, I guess I would start by saying that getting up every day to work hard, try and make the world a little bit better, is an incredible way to spend your professional time. Mm. And if that is anybody's desire to do so, I would wholeheartedly advise them to give it a shot. You know, I think the very first key lesson is to take a lot of time to understand the problem that moves you the most before you jump full throttle into doing that work, whether it means starting an organization like I did, or you know, shifting your career or your plans entirely to work for one that's already doing it. Because I think, you know, far too often, very well-intentioned people get started on something that they don't fully understand yet, and that, you know, on the contrary, the people that they're trying to help are the ones who understand it better than they ever could. I spent about a year getting to learn all of the intricacies of what was happening in Haiti, the deep history of Haiti since its independence, its revolution and independence in 1804, and all of the many things that I would need to do just to be able to talk effectively to people that I needed to help me. I needed to learn the language. I needed to learn the culture. And that was really, really important just to begin to grasp the problems that we were trying to solve. But for anybody that wants to do good work in the world, you really have to get very close to the context and the situation that you're going to be working in before you can effectively design solutions to that problem. The next thing that I would say is not to reinvent the wheel in a number of different ways. One, if you care very deeply about something and want to leverage your time and talent to help advance solutions to that problem or challenge, there's a very good chance that there's somebody out there who is already working on it or has come up with some good ideas on how to address it. I happen to have chosen an organization to start, but that doesn't necessarily mean that for every challenge or problem in the world, there isn't somebody doing great work already. And maybe the best way that you can leverage your time and talent is to join forces with those people who are. Of course, that requires identifying them and making sure that they're doing it in a way that is resonant with your own values and principles. But sometimes that can be a more efficient way to solve the problems that we want to see solved. And then beyond that, you know, I mentioned that there really isn't necessarily a playbook for addressing all the different challenges we want to see changed in the world. I have found that the best way to make progress in the work that we're doing in Haiti is to wake up every day, you know, with an open mind and a problem-solving mentality and say, what are the most pressing challenges that we have to deal with right now, whether that is pertains to building an organization and building the capacity of our organization, or whether that applies to the problems and challenges and opportunities that our stakeholders in Haiti are dealing with every day. Of course, you want to have a long-term strategy, but taking it one step at a time, understanding the challenge that lies before you, and then applying yourself entirely to solving those more micro challenges and building into a broader delivery of impact is a great way to go.
So Bennett, so now it's 10 years since Hope on a String started, and Haiti's now in the throes of yet another huge crisis, this time not a natural disaster, but rather folks on the ground protesting corruption and greed in politics, and many calling for the resignation of the current president. So it's a different, things have shifted. The landscape continues to shift. And as a leader, how are you shifting? And I know that's a huge question, but you know, as the landscape changes, how do you stay resilient, I guess, with all the challenges?
Yeah, well, there are a lot of challenges right now in Haiti, and they are very different from the challenges that I first saw on my first visit to the country. But there is, a through line in that the Haitian people have been struggling for their sovereignty, for their basic rights, and for the futures that they want to build for themselves and their families for hundreds of years now. And while in 2010, you know, the main obstacle was an earthquake, you know, right now people are fighting very hard for human rights, for accountability and transparency in government, for respect and dignity as individuals and humans living in this world. And so I see it as a continuation of a fight that was started a long time ago. And in recognition of that, I think, you know, my place right now is to be a friend of Haiti, to be a champion of the people who have given so much to me and our organization, and to support them as they work to build that future that they want to see. And also recognize that, you know, my place in it is insignificant. I work to be an advocate and an ally in that fight, and understand that it's, at the end of the day, it's not my fight. I may have business interests involved in Haiti, but at the end of the day, this is about Haitians standing up for themselves. And so I take resilience in that, and in saying that, you know, this is a challenging moment, and it's going to cause pain and difficulty for many people, including the people working for my organization, because it's difficult for them to get to work every day. It's hard for us to deliver the programs that are changing the lives of Haitian children. But, you know, at the end of the day, this is a struggle that needs to happen. And so I take strength and resilience in trying to find a way to support that effort, and understand that this is something that began a long time ago and will continue into the future.
Wow, that's amazing. So what's next for Hope on a String? What is it, assuming that that Haiti's struggles resolve and some of this transparency is achieved, what is the vision for Hope on a String, say, in the next 5 years? What do you think?
Yeah, so we're growing, you know, quite quickly right now. You know, it's very interesting to sort of take a step back and look at our trajectory. You know, we spent a couple of years trying to figure out the best program that we could deliver to youth in the immediate region of our community center. And that began expanding quite rapidly once we started partnering with primary schools. As I mentioned, we now have a network of 40 primary schools that we serve. We have dozens of youth artist entrepreneurs who have earned really significant money performing and celebrating their culture.
Amazing.
And so I think our growth is going to continue on those two paths. We have much more demand than we can even fill at this time in terms of schools that are willing to partner with us. You know, we've gone from 4 schools to 20 schools to now 40 schools. I think, you know, over the next 5 to 10 years, we could serve every school-aged child across the country by partnering with the government, specifically the Ministry of Education, to deliver arts and cultural education to all schools across the country, and do so in a way that is consonant with the national curriculum and with the educational and development goals of the country itself. I also believe that Haiti as a country has an incredibly vibrant and rich culture that is one of its biggest assets. And it's a beautiful country. It's one that is located in the Caribbean, right next to Cuba and Jamaica and the Dominican Republic, who obviously have thriving tourism industries. Mm-hmm. There's no reason why Haiti could not be a competitor in that space. And if that were to occur, there would be tremendous opportunities for the youth that we work with and youth all over the country to uplift their culture as a way that would enrich the country in an economic sense as well. And so we want to be positioned to help make that happen if and when Haiti is able to resolve some of its current challenges. And I think we can be working across the spectrum of youth development from very early school-age children all the way up through youth who are forging careers and employment and livelihood.
So it's this vision of music and arts education as a catalyst for and a way to leverage what's already beautiful and amazing about the culture, the Haitian culture and the Haitian history, would you say?
Absolutely. We try and approach everything we do from an asset framing standpoint, and one of Haiti's greatest assets is its culture. Hope on a String works with music and the arts, but we are not a conservatory or a music school per se. We see Haiti's beautiful culture as a jumping off point for development, for social and economic transformation for Haitians themselves.
Well, this is giving me so much to think about. I applaud your work, Bennett, and your drive and the organization that you've created from square one, and now 10 years into this experiment, and I think it's grown legs and is moving off on its own, which must be so rewarding.
It is incredibly rewarding to see the hard work and impact that our team has created. I'm just so thankful that I have had this chance to learn about a new culture so deeply, to spend so much time in that country, and to form lifelong relationships and friendships with the people who are on our team. And I am confident that Hope on a String will be making waves for years to come.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Bennett, and thank you for sharing your journey into this nonprofit exploration. I'm sure we'll have more questions for you. We'd love to know. We haven't even scratched the surface of all that you do on a daily basis. But thank you for sharing your journey with us today in this podcast space.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed talking with you.
Big thank you to Bennett for taking the time to share with us your unique journey into founding a nonprofit post-earthquake in Haiti. What pops out for me about what you shared is this notion of immersing yourself as much as possible into the culture, the ideas, and maybe the vision you have before founding a nonprofit. This idea of really listening, listening to the folks on the ground who you want to help with your nonprofit before starting it. That information or that challenge, I think, is critical as young entrepreneurial students think about taking up this idea of starting a business and or a nonprofit. The other thing that struck me was this idea of looking around to see who might also be doing the work on the ground, so that you don't replicate what's already happening or reinvent something that's already working on the ground, but rather working with what's already working on the ground in the places and spaces that need the most help instead of or in addition to launching your own ideas. So thank you, Bennett. Thanks for your time, your effort, your focus, your vision, and all the work that you do on the ground in Haiti.